नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल महाराज निमि मीट्स द नाइन योगींद्रास टेक्स्ट 45। श्री हविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्येत् भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मन्या एष भागवतोत्तमः। सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्ये भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मन्या एष भागः। हविरुवाच सर्वभूतेषु यः पश्ये भगवद्भावमात्मनः भूतानि भगवत्यात्मन्या एष भागवतोत्तमः वैष्णवीस। श्री हविर वाच श्री हविर सेड सर्वभूतेषु इन ऑल ऑब्जेक्ट्स इन मैटर स्पिरिट एंड कॉम्बिनेशंस ऑफ मैटर एंड स्पिरिट यह एनीवन हु पश्येत sees Bhagavad Bhavam, the ability to be engaged in the service of the Lord, Atmanaha, of the Supreme Spirit Soul, or the transcendence beyond the material concept of life, Bhutani, all beings, Bhagavati, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atmani, the basic principle of all existence, Eshaha, this, Bhagavatuttamaha, a person advanced in devotional service. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Sri Havir said, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. So this purport has been going on for several days, so today I'll take the last part. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also points out in his commentary, Atra pashyet iti tatha darshan yogyatvaiva vivakshita nitu tatha darshanasya sarva kalikata. In this verse, the word pashyet, or one must see, does not mean that every moment one is visualizing the form of the Lord. Rather, it means that one has reached the exalted platform of devotional service on which he is fit to see or is capable of seeing Krishna's form. If only those who constantly see the form of Krishna are to be considered Uttam Adhikaris, then Narad, Vyas and Shukdev cannot be considered topmost devotees. since they do not always see the Lord everywhere. Of course, Narada Vyasa and Shukdeva are considered to be on the highest platform, standard of pure devotional service. And therefore, the real qualification is tad didruksha adhikya, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Therefore, the statement of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere, yomam pashyati sarvatra, can be understood in terms of an example of a lusty man thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Similarly, one should become transcendently so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within the entire universe nothing but Krishna and his agency and his potency. Vasudevah sarvamiti. In Srila Prabhupada's correspondence in 1969 with Professor J.F. Stahl of the University of California, Srila Prabhupada claimed that all of his disciples who were strictly following the intense program of Krishna consciousness were in fact Sudurlabha Mahatmas, who were seeing Vasudeva Sarvam. In other words, if one is constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness with an intense desire to please the Lord and one day gain his association, it is to be understood that in one's life there is nothing but Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has warned us, however, that a mere theoretical or academic understanding that Krishna is everything does not qualify one as a first class devotee. One must actually have developed love for Krishna. Therefore, it can be practically understood that anyone who enthusiastically adopts the Krishna conscious program and eagerly participates in the preaching activities of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting on the platform of a Madhyamadhikari devotee. When such a devotee becomes overwhelmed by the desire to serve Krishna and associate with the Lord, so much so that he is not attracted to anything else within the universe, he should be understood to be an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava, as mentioned in this verse. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjani Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today morning, the characteristics of a pure devotee are being discussed over here, and the importance of one's desire to see the Lord is being highlighted here. Now, I'll focus on the theme today of the relationship between intention and vision. What we want to see is what we see. Our intention determines our vision. Now, if we come in a particular room, we are searching for someone, and we are looking at everyone, but all those other people don't register in our mind. What registers is this person there or is not there? So our intention is the director of our vision. And in a day-to-day event, it is easy to understand. The other things we see, but they don't register in our mind. But this does not apply just to a day-to-day event. It also applies to our overall life and our worldview itself. Now, we all have certain driving desires in our life. And these driving desires, they are our primary intentions. And they shape what we see and what we don't see. Now, if somebody is very money-minded, then if they come to a crowd of people, the first thing they see is, who is dressed how? Based on the dress, they infer, what is the income level of which person? They go to a party, then they will see, okay, this is a wealthy person, I should spend some time with him. This person is not very wealthy, I don't want to spend time with them. So, our intention is the driver of our vision and subsequently our action. And our vision is not just external vision. Our vision is also internal vision. By internal, I don't necessarily mean spiritual vision. I'm talking here about mental vision. We have, actually, whenever we see anything, we don't just see with the eyes. The eyes, the mind, and the soul, all three have to be in one line for perception to take place. For example, if you're talking with someone and suddenly our mind wanders off somewhere else, we ask, come again, excuse me, please repeat. So what has happened? Through the ear, the sound has gone in. The ear is there, the sound has gone in through the ear. The soul is also there in the body, but the mind is not there. So when the mind is not there, the perception, whether it be seeing or hearing, does not happen. So we often say some people are absent-minded. Now, when we say absent-minded, that does not necessarily mean that the mind is absent. The mind is always there, but the mind is not there where they are. So they are physically somewhere, but the mind is somewhere else. So our vision, when we talk about vision, there is the act of perceiving that happens in the soul. But we see something outside, and from outside, through the eyes, the perception enters into the mind, and from the mind, it goes to the soul. And the soul is what? Perceives. Now, inner vision, when I talk about as mental vision, what it refers to is, sometimes we see things in the mind's eye. Or sometimes we recollect certain things. There may or may not be any external stimulus that triggers that recollection. So, suddenly we may start remembering something from our childhood. We may remember some place we may have gone. We may remember some person we had met. So these are recollections. And we see with our mind's eye also. In the third canto, in the Sankhya section, it is said that the subtle body has also its senses. And it is the subtle senses. That's why in our dreams, when the eyes are closed, still we see. How do we see? We see through the mind's eye. Now the process of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, is about spiritualizing the mind and the intelligence. Mai arpita mano buddhir mamevaishyasya samshayah. Mai arpita, offering unto me mind and intelligence. Mano buddhir. So, when we offer our mind and intelligence to Krishna, then actually we are absorbed in Krishna. In the 12th chapter, Krishna talks about various levels at which one can connect with Him. And the highest level, He says in 12.8, is that Mayeva mana dhatsva mai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyasi mayeva ata urdhvam na samshayaha. So He says, Mayeva mana dhatsva. If your mind is fixed in me, dhatsva actually means more than fixed, it's absorbed in me. Mai buddhim niveshaya, your intelligence rests in me. Then, nivasishyasi mayeva. Nivasishyasi. Nivasa means to reside. Nivasishyasi means to reside in a place. Nivasa is residence. Nivasishyasi is to reside in. So Krishna says, if your mind and intelligence are in me, then you are already living in me. So you are already living in me. And this is the stage of perfection. It is not that you will come to me in future. You are already with me. This verse also says, Sarva bhuteshu yaha pashyed bhagvat bhavamatmanaha. That one, whatever one sees, that stimulates the remembrance of the Lord. And bhutani bhagvatyatmanya. One sees that everything is situated in the Lord. This is a paradoxical description of the realization of God's relationship with the world as understood by the topmost devotees. They see that Krishna is in everything and everything is in Krishna. Krishna is in everything and everything is in Krishna. Sarva bhutastham atmani, sarva bhutani chatmani. ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanaha. In 6.29 Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that they see that the Lord is situated in everything. This refers to the Paramatma pervading all living entities. Sarvabhutasthamatman, sarvabhutani chatmani. And all living beings are situated in the Lord. So as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is situated in the heart of all living beings, as Mahavishnu, everything is situated in him. As the Virata Rupa Krishna says in the 11th chapter, everything is situated in him. Now this vision is primarily indication of the extent of absorption in the Lord. And the important thing for an exalted devotee is that the devotee's heart is filled with the desire to serve Krishna. And for the service of Krishna, whatever is required is done. So the driving intention is service of Krishna. And so here is given example that some great devotees, are they always seeing the Lord all the times? Mother Yashoda, for example, when she is cooking for Krishna, she is remembering that I am cooking for Krishna. But when she is cooking, when she is using ingredients, mixing this ingredient with that ingredient, putting that on the stove, at that time, is it that her vision is constantly filled with Krishna and she is not seeing anything at all? No, she is seeing those things, but she is doing it all for Krishna. So, there is a possibility that in the state of ecstatic trance, a devotee can see Krishna at all times. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Krishna himself in the mood of Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Sumilitam Naomi Krishna Sarupam. Radha Bhava and Dyuti. He has taken the complexion and the emotion of Srimati Radharani. But now there is no devotee greater than Radharani. And sometimes when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be walking along with his devotees, maybe coming back from Jagannath Puri temple to Gambhira, suddenly the devotees are talking with him and he would disappear. Where is he gone? And they look around, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rushing off in some direction. And then the devotees run over there and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has fallen in a swoon. And when he comes back to consciousness, say that, I saw Krishna over there. Krishna was playing his flute and he was calling me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran to see him. But by the time I reached, Krishna had disappeared. Now when it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Krishna like this, and he ran towards Krishna. Now does that mean that he was not seeing Krishna at other times? He saw Krishna at that particular time and he just went mad. The word that is used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita again and again is divyonmad or premonmad. Mad is madness. Divyonmad is divine madness. Premonmad is the madness born of love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said that he saw Krishna at that particular time. And then he would go mad. So was he not seeing Krishna at other times? He was always seeing Krishna in the sense that he was always remembering Krishna. His life was always devoted to the service of Krishna. Krishna was his highest desire. But at the same time, Krishna by his will manifests in a direct personal form which the devotee sees at some times. And sometimes the devotee does not see. That does not mean that the devotee is not absorbed in Krishna. So, as long as the intention to serve Krishna is there, a devotee may be seeing Krishna directly or the devotee may not be seeing Krishna directly. That doesn't matter. Because the devotee is always serving Krishna. So, the intention of service is what brings absorption in Krishna. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when there is the opportunity to behold the Lord that comes. At that time, several times the devotees say that actually, you know, what is the use, O Lord, of seeing you? Even the demons saw you. They're not minimizing the point of seeing the Lord. They're saying that actually, vision without the right intention, vision without the right disposition, that is not of much use. So the devotee always has the desire to see the Lord. In the sense that the devotee longs to have darshan. But more than the desire to see the Lord is the desire to serve the Lord. And the desire to serve the Lord is what keeps the devotee always absorbed in Krishna. And the desire to see and the desire to serve, both are naturally related because the Lord devotee loves the Lord. But more important than the desire to see is the desire to serve. Because service is the defining relationship of the soul with the Lord. And the desire to see can naturally enhance the service attitude. But the more important thing is service. Now, we see this mode right from the topmost devotees who exist in the highest reaches of the spiritual world to the devotees who are the topmost who are functioning in this world. So for example, we look at the gopis of Vrindavan. Especially in the Gopi Gita, they are constantly longing to see Krishna. When Krishna has disappeared from their vision, they are singing in the Gopi Gita to beseech Krishna, please come back. Please, we cannot live without you. But then, the concluding verse is what, it is not just that the Gopis are wanting to see Krishna. They are thinking, Krishna, for whatever reason you have become upset with us and you have gone away, and now when you have gone away, we don't know which part of the forest you may have gone. You have left the normal path and you have gone into the forest where there is no proper path. And where there is no proper path, on that forest area, there will be pebbles, there will be thorns, there will be twigs. And they will pierce your lotus feet. And if your lotus feet are pierced, that will pierce our heart, O Lord. Nalina sundaram nathate padam shilatrunankurai sidatitina kalilatamanaha kanta gachati. He says that our hearts are torn apart by thinking that there is slight scratch on your feet. So the last words, the gopis are praying to Krishna, please come back. Not just because we want to see you, but because we can't tolerate you walking on these paths where your legs will be pierced. So even the desire to see is infused with the desire to serve. And this prominence or even predominance of the desire to serve above the desire to see is seen, is evident in the pastime when Krishna gets a headache. And Narada Muni travels all over the universe to try to find somebody who will provide the medicine for Krishna's headache. And that medicine happens to be the dust of the feet of his devotees. So it is the gopis who give the dust of the feet. And they know that if they do that, they may go to hell. If they go to hell, they will not see Krishna. But for them, serving Krishna is more important than seeing Krishna. Now, we see this also in the life of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada is on the Boston Pyre and he composes a psalm, Markine Bhagavad Dharma, and he is offering that as a prayer to Krishna. And he is actually seeing the American coastline, but he is not seeing the American coastline alone. He's actually seeing this as both a field for Krishna consciousness, for sharing Krishna's love, and a field which is barren without Krishna's love. The first thing he says is that Rajastama Gunaira Sabai Achana Vasudeva Katharuchi Nahise Prasan. So he says that these people are all covered by Raju and Tamoguna. And because of that, they will not be able to relish Krishna Katha. So he's not just seeing that these people are either materially prosperous, which would be the vision of a materialistic person, or these people are so degraded, which would be the vision of a moralistic person. See, the materialistic person says, oh, there's so much enjoyment over here. The moralistic person will say, there's so much degradation over here. But Prabhupada's vision is neither materialistic nor moralistic. He sees not just in terms of degradation, he sees in terms of the modes of passion and ignorance. And his focus is not also just seeing in terms of the modes of passion and ignorance. He's seeing that because of the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Nahi Se Prasanna. They will not be able to relish Vasudeva Katha. So it's interesting that Vasudeva Katha, Krishna Katha is transcendental. And Vishwanath Chakra Thakur in his Madhuri Kadambani is quite categorical that nothing material affects. There is no material qualification or disqualification for the practice of bhakti. And Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhakti Radokshaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yatma Suprasidati. And this is 1.2.6 in the Bhagavatam. It talks about a pure devotional service is Ahaituki Apratihata, uninterrupted and unmotivated. So different acharyas take the same verse and they emphasize different aspects of the verse. So Ahaituki Apratihata, uninterrupted and unmotivated. And Srila Prabhupada explained this verse. Usually he applies unmotivated and uninterrupted to how we should practice devotional service. He applies it that for us, if you want to come to the level of Paradharma, we should practice devotional service without any material motivation and without any interruption. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his explanation of this verse, he focuses on that Ahaituki and Apratihata are the characteristics of bhakti itself. That means bhakti is without any motivation, bhakti is without any interruption. And he takes it to mean that now nothing material can interrupt the practice of bhakti. So nothing material, now what does it mean? Yes, nothing material can interrupt the practice of bhakti means that actually there is no material impediment for a person who wants to practice bhakti. A person who may be in tamoguna, a person may be in rajoguna, they all can practice bhakti. In fact, the 11th canto itself, later in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna will give various examples of even non-human species practicing bhakti. So in terms of starting the practice of bhakti, in terms of being allowed entry into the practice of bhakti, bhakti is egalitarian. It allows everyone to come in. But in terms of sustaining the practice of bhakti, the modes of passion and ignorance do not let one sustain. So it's like, say, if this contains delicious mango juice, and if I am drinking mango juice, now I can easily drink it. The mango juice is there, my mouth is there, I can easily drink it. But suppose instead of me, there's a restless child whose head is moving here and there. Mother wants it to drink. The child is not ready to drink. And the mother is pouring and the child is moving her hand there, moving the hand there, moving the head there, moving the head there. Then the drink is coming, but the drink is not going into the mouth. The drink is going off to other places. So our mind is like a restless child. And this mind is very turbulent, especially when we are in the modes of passion and ignorance. So although Krishna bhakti, remembrance of Krishna is always like nectar, the mind that is in passion and ignorance, it just keeps moving here and there, moving here and there, moving here and there. And why does it move here and there? Because the mind in passion and ignorance is always looking for something else. Something, you know, maybe this is good, but maybe there's something better. Maybe there's something better, there's something better. And because of that constant exploration of something better, and when the mind wants to look for something better, it actually looks for something better, not at the spiritual level, it looks at the material level. Now, human life, we have the developed consciousness to look for something more than sense pleasure. We have the higher developed consciousness where we can look for spiritual happiness. But unfortunately, instead of looking for more than sense pleasure, we look for more sense pleasure. Instead of looking for more than sense pleasure, we look for more sense pleasure. More sense pleasure means, we humans are the only species which actually eats more than necessary. Now animals, they are all driven by hunger, and animals, they can't fast. Whenever they are hungry, they will eat. You know, if a cat sees a mouse, the cat cannot think, today is Ekadashi. The cat will simply pounce and eat. But the animals eat as long as they are hungry. We humans, we seek more sense pleasure, because with our developed consciousness, we seek more pleasure than what the body offers us. But we are meant to look, when we look for more pleasure than what the body offers us, we need to look somewhere more than the body, above the body. But unfortunately, we look further in the body itself, trying to twist various ways for getting pleasure through the body. Now the point for us at this point is that when we are Rajo and Tamoguna, at that point, we are just looking, maybe this will give me pleasure, maybe this will give me pleasure, maybe this will give me pleasure. So, because of that, there is restlessness, chanchalam himanah Krishna. And although we, in principle, there is nothing stopping us from practicing Krishna bhakti. But in practice, there is a lot distracting us from relishing Krishna bhakti. That's why the more we become purified, the more we will find that, even when we come to the mode of goodness. In the Srila Prabhupada's Markine Bhagavad Dharma, it both restates in Bengali as well as quotes explicitly in Sanskrit the section 1.2 from the Bhagavatam, second chapter of the first canto, where the process of bhakti is described, how it transforms us. So, tada rajastamo bhava, kama lobhadayasche chetaitanavaddham sthitam sattve prasidati. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangasa jayate. So, when rajo and tamo guna go down, at that time, cheta etairana vidham, our consciousness stops being tormented. And then, sitam sattve prasidati. There is cheerfulness that comes. And then one can practice bhakti and then realization comes. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Then we can start understanding and relishing Krishna. So here, the point which I was making is, our intention is the director of our vision. And when we are in the modes of passion and ignorance, our intention is caught with worldly things. In passion, our intention is caught with anticipation. I'll get that. In ignorance, our vision is caught in frustration. Oh, I didn't get that. So, in passion, we are too much thinking about the future. Maybe this will happen. In ignorance, we are too much, that went wrong. So, it's future and past. We are caught in those two things. And our vision, we are not available for Krishna. Now, the Jiva Goswami, in his in Shat Sandarbhas, he says that for the pure devotees, they stay on the spiritual platform by their preeti. Because they love Krishna, they stay on the spiritual platform. But he says, for the sadhakas, what keeps them on the spiritual platform is their buddhi. Buddhi is the intelligence. And he quotes the Bhagavad Gita 3.43 over there. Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhya atmanam atmana. With intelligence, situate yourself on the spiritual platform. So, siddhanta baliya chitte na kare alas, iha haite Krishna lage sudrudha manas. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita also says that don't be lazy about studying philosophy. Baliya chitte na kare alas. Don't be lazy. Iha haite Krishna lage sudrudha manas. By this, we can fix the mind determinedly on Krishna. Now, what prevents us from focusing on Krishna is two things. It's presence of distraction and absence of attraction. So, what prevents us from fixing the mind on Krishna is the presence of distraction. Oh, look at this, touch this, think of this, enjoy this. And the second is absence of attraction. Even if Krishna is there in front of us, we don't feel very attracted to him. So now, how do we deal with these two, the presence of distraction and the absence of attraction? So actually, at the first level, when we study the philosophy, then what happens is, we become intellectually convinced that the distractions are not worth getting distracted by. The distractions are there. To some extent, we can minimize the distractions. To much extent in this world, we can't remove the distractions. We can't demand that, I want to practice bhakti, so there should be no more distractions. No, the distractions are going to be there. And even if we come in a pure environment where there are no distractions, Our mind itself is the ultimate distraction. So, the expectation that there should be no distraction is an unrealistic expectation. It's like, say, if you walk along the roads, there are so many billboards everywhere. So, now, the billboards, since, in the past, when we were materialistic, at that time, we might look at the materialist, we will look at the billboard, okay, this says this. And, we may moon over it. Oh, one day I'll get that. Now, when we become devotees, when we start practicing bhakti, now, just because we have started practicing bhakti, does not mean that the advertising agencies are going to close down. The advertisements are still going to be there, all the billboards will be there, but just that, we don't look at them. If we are going from place A to place B, along the road there are many billboards. If we are materialistic, then we would be just looking at all the billboards and dreaming. Maybe one day I'll get this car, maybe I'll get this house, maybe I'll get this personal care product, whatever it is. But once we become devotees, what changes is not that the advertisements will stop. What changes is our intention. Okay, I'm not interested in this. So if I'm here, I have to go to my office, I have to go to the temple, I just go straight. So, our intention is the director of our vision. If we don't have spiritual intention, then by default we have material intention. And material intention means, naturally we'll look at materially attractive things. We'll get attracted to the billboards. But, our intention changes. And our intention is something which we can sustain by our intelligence. Jiva Goswami says that buddhi is what we require. So, intelligence sustains the intention. If our intelligence goes down, then our intention also goes down. So, with our steady intention, even if the objects are there, we won't see them. Now, this at an external level is easy to understand. But the same has to be applied at an internal level also. The mind is like Maya's internal advertising agent. And the mind will also keep showing billboards. Come on! Touch this, eat this, enjoy this. And we can't wish away the mind's tendencies. The mind is what it is. Sometimes the scriptures talk about the mind as an enemy. Yes, it is an enemy, but it is an enemy which we have to live with. You know, our mind is the only mind we have. We can't replace the mind. We can't get a substitute mind. This is the mind that we have and we have to learn with it. So as in Canada, I gave this example, nobody could connect with it. Probably in India, people will connect. So it was that, you know. So for us, we can treat the mind like India treats Pakistan. It is there. We can't wish away the presence of Pakistan. It's a trouble creator, but it is there. So, we just have to learn to live with it. Learn to live with it doesn't mean that we let it hurt us, but we can't wish it away. So, our intention has to be strong enough that whether it is an external distraction coming from the world or whether it is an internal distraction coming from the mind, we can resist it. So, the presence of distractions is something which we can minimize to some extent. But we can't eliminate it. We can't eliminate the presence of distraction. And it's important that we never blame the distraction for our getting distracted. The distraction is not what causes our distraction. Our getting distracted. It is we who get distracted. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when he's analyzing where kama is situated, where selfish desire is situated, He doesn't say that kama is situated in the sense objects. He says, indriyani manobuddhir asya adhishthanam uchyate. That senses, mind and intelligence. It is in the senses, mind and intelligence that kama, that selfish desire is situated. That means he is not saying in the sense objects. Yes, sometimes the sense objects may, perceiving the sense objects may trigger the desire within us. But that desire is triggered because kama is present within us. Because that selfish desire is already present within us. So, we can't blame the distractions for our distractedness. It is we only who are distractible because our intention is not strong. Srila Prabhupada was asked, and if our purpose is to serve Krishna, why is Maya so strong? Prabhupada replied, because your purpose is not strong. Because your purpose is not strong. And we get this strength of purpose by the practice of, by sustaining our intelligence. By strengthening our intelligence. Srila Prabhupada talks about, in different places in the purports, he talks about two adjectives for describing the intelligence. He says the intelligence should be strong and it should be sharp. So these two are interesting describers. Strong means if some other peripheral desire comes in, the intelligence has to be strong to resist that desire. And sharp means, you know, we should be alert. Okay, now this is my intention, this is the desire which has come in. Yeah, this desire is not what I want, this intention is what I want. So sharp is in terms of swiftness. We immediately recognize what is happening. So the study of Shastra is not just meant so that while preaching we can quote a lot of verses. It's good if we can do that. But the study of Shastra is meant to make our intelligence sharp and strong. With our intelligence we perceive what is happening. Okay, this is what I want to do in my life. And this distraction is coming. It's triggered as a desire within me. We understand it quickly and we correct ourselves faster. In terms of the chariot body metaphor, the charioteer has to be strong and sharp. Sharp means as soon as the horse starts going off in a different direction, the charioteer can't be sleeping on the chariot. How? This horse is going off. Immediately notice it and then pull back. So sharp and strong. And to the extent we are studying scripture systematically, seriously, then we will, that can make our intelligence sharp and strong. That will sustain our intention. However, this sustenance of intention is largely effortful process. It is not a joyful process. It is an effortful process. Because the mind tends to get distracted and we have to get it back. It tends to get distracted, we have to get it back. Now, as I said, the two problems for us is, one is presence of distraction, the second is absence of attraction. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, our mind is wanders here, there, and all those things are there to distract us. And when we are trying to focus on the holy name, we are not able to focus because there is no attraction over there. So more important than dealing with distractions is cultivating attraction. And how does the attraction get cultivated? Actually, there are many aspects to this, but here, this verse talks about the topmost devotee, next verse talks about the Madhyamadhikari in the Bhagavatam. So, the attraction, there is our intention to go towards Krishna, there is attraction towards Krishna by which we want to go towards Him. We are attracted to Him. Our desires are not just linear. They are also triangular. What do I mean by linear and triangular desires? Linear means that we see an object. The object is there, I am here, and I feel, oh, this object is so nice. So if there's some gulab jamun, so you see the object, oh, I want to eat that gulab jamun. So this is a linear desire. We see the sense object, and the desire comes within us. Now, this is one way in which the desires are generated, but this is not the only way. Actually, see, if I am here, the object is here, and somebody else who is enjoying the object is also there. Then what happens is, by seeing that person enjoy the object, I get the desire to enjoy that object. So say, if there is some food item which you have never heard about, you know, some Chinese food, some Italian food, some Mexican food, whatever it is. And when we look at the food, we don't know what to make of it. You know, it doesn't look particularly attractive. But then somebody takes it and eats it. Ah, they are in gustatory samadhi. They are just enjoying the food. I think, hey, really, it's so good. Let me try it also. So what has happened? is seeing the object did not cultivate the desire, did not trigger the desire within us. We were there, the object was there, but we were thinking, maybe I should take it, maybe I should not take it. But we see somebody else taking it. And then that triggers the desire within us. So desire is not just linear, it is triangular. The Bhagavad Gita also talks about it, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. So Sangha can mean attachment, and that's what it means within the sequence of those verses. But Srila Prabhupada in a lecture says Sangha can also refer to association. So Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha means that association triggers desire. So this is what most of the advertisement, they don't just advertise the product. They don't just show the product. They show the product as endorsed by some attractive looking or famous person. Oh, this person, this cricketer, this movie star, they are using this mobile, they are using this soap, they are using the shampoo. Let me take it. So it's not just the object that we see and we get the desire. We see somebody else enjoying the object and we get the desire. And this triangularity of desires is especially important in spiritual life. Because in spiritual life, the sense of the objects to which we want to be attracted, they do not necessarily appear to be very attractive. When we come to the temple, you know, we see the titis dressed so beautifully. Now, this is because in India there is a pious culture and there is natural reverence for the deities. But in the West, now the whole idea, as soon as you see an image that is worshipped as God, you know, the first thing that comes in the mind is this idolatry. I met one Catholic pastor in Salt Lake City. So he's a preacher of Catholicism for the last 20 years. But somehow, he was searching on the Bhagavad Gita to refute the Bhagavad Gita. Because he was meeting many people in his PG who were reading the Bhagavad Gita. And that way, he started reading the Bhagavad Gita. And he became interested. He started coming for the temple, he read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, he wanted to study more. So, he searched and found my Gita Daily website, so he had come to meet me then in Salt Lake City. His regular reading. So he said that he's a very pious person. He had read the Bhagavad Gita. It's his first time when I came to the temple. And as soon as I saw the deities, the first thought that came in my mind was that, you know, this should be destroyed. This should be destroyed. Destroyed, because time and time again, if you look at the Old Testament, the New Testament, whenever any king conquers a land, the first thing that they do is they destroy the idols over there. In the New Testament, it is not so much because Jesus was not a conqueror. New Testament is primarily a description of Jesus' life and then the epistles, the directions given by Paul. But in the Old Testament, it is repeatedly there. And what to speak of the Quran, it is again and again there. Because they have no conception of the form of God. So the point which I am making is, this is not a criticism of any particular religion. The point which I am making is that the spiritual objects to which we want to get attracted, they may not seem attractive to people. So the deities we may feel attracted to, but those who are born in a culture of idol where any kind of image worship is condemned as idolatry, the sight of the deities may trigger some other desire. But then he said, I came to the temple and I saw how devotedly the pujaris were worshipping the deities. How sincerely the devotees were worshipping the deities. And that slowly started changing my attitude. So, I was also at a Christian Vaishnav dialogue in Washington DC. And there, this was very cordial atmosphere between the two. So there was this Christian who had come there. He had come to the temple and he had stayed for 1 week in the temple. And then when he was leaving, he was sharing this experience in the conference. He said that, when I was leaving, the devotee was there, he asked me, how was your experience in the temple? He said, it was extremely challenging. That's challenging. What happened? Normally we want to take care of our guests. So what was the problem? He said that, you know, since the last 40 years, Now, I had been conditioned to believe that this image worship, it is actually the worship of the devil. It is the worship of the devil. Because see, why are they so against deity worship? Because they consider as one true God, and anything else that is worshipped is a competitor to the worship of the true God. And who is the competitor? Ultimately, the competitor is the devil. So, they consider all idols to be manifestations of the devil. So, he said, that was my belief, but here every day when I would come to the temple, and I would see the devotees taking darshan, performing kirtan, I could see that the devotion that he had, that people had, was no lesser than the devotion that I have seen in the most devout Christian services. So he said, that was what was challenging for me. That, the conceptions that I had, now it was his honesty, his candor that he spoke this. So the thing is that the objects to which we want to get attracted to, for us there will be no negative reaction with seeing the deities at all. But say Bhagavad Gita, we see. How many of us, by seeing the Bhagavad Gita, well, oh, I want to study the Bhagavad Gita. I want to dive into the Gita. I want to relish the Gita. Very few of us may get that desire. But if you associate with someone who delights in the Gita, say who delights in the Bhagavatam, and when they speak on the Bhagavatam, hey, there's such insights over here. I had no idea. Then when we see them delighting in the Bhagavatam, we get the desire. Oh, I also want to delight in this. I also want to find what this is. So what happens is again, so the Bhagavad Gita is here, I am here. And somebody else who is relishing the Bhagavad Gita, that person is here. So when we see them relishing, we get the desire to relish. So bhakti sanjayate bhakti. So for us, the spiritual desire, so the absence of or the presence of distraction, we can fight off with our buddhi. We can persevere in our Krishna bhakti, trying to connect with Krishna even when there is no attraction. And by the repeated exposure to Krishna also attraction will come. But most importantly, it is association with those who are attracted to Krishna in his various manifestations. That will kindle our attraction. So the triangularity of desires is what is vital in the, tapping it is vital in the process of bhakti. And I'll conclude with one last point that, that's why even when we are in the association of devotees, we need to look for serious devotees. Devotees who have a desire for Krishna. Devotees who want to connect with Krishna. Devotees who want to serve Krishna, want to love Krishna. Even in the association of devotees, there in the community of devotees, there can be different kinds of devotees. Krishna is like a kalpataru. He's a desire-fulfilling tree. And similarly, Krishna's movement is also a kalpataru. It's also a desire-fulfilling tree. So, our intention determines our vision. So if we come to Krishna's movement for prestige, no, we will get that. You know, which other place we go and when we enter, people bow down to us. If we come to Krishna's movement for power, yes, if we just stay around for a few years, we become senior, we become guides for people, we get power. If we come to Krishna's movement for money, we can get money. If we come to Krishna's movement for controversy, we will get controversy also. Now, if we come to Krishna's movement for Krishna, we will get Krishna also. So, we have to be, while being in the association of devotees, be alert to what our intention is. Because our intention will determine our vision. If we are here for controversies, then we will associate with devotees who always talk about controversies. And this is wrong here, that is wrong there, that is wrong there. And what will happen? Where is Krishna consciousness over there? We are simply finding fault here, finding fault there, finding fault there. Anya nindadi shunya rupsita sangalabdhya. The pure devotees, they have no desire to find fault because they know this world is a faulty place. Our purpose is to get out of this world and to practice the process by which you can get out of this world. So, this devotee, Srila Prabhupada was such a devotee who even went to America, he actually saw the opportunity to share Krishna over there. And he shared it over there and from there, he shared it all over the world. And his followers are sharing it vigorously. We all have had the opportunity to associate with Bhagavatottamaha, the topmost devotees, through the followers of Srila Prabhupada. And by connecting with them, by letting them kindle our spiritual desires, we all can move steadily towards Krishna. So I'll summarize. I spoke today about, the theme was our vision determines, our attention determines our vision. I talked about the vision that is given in this verse, that Krishna is in everything and everything is in Krishna. Now, whenever we go anywhere, if you're looking for someone, we don't see other people. And that applies in our overall life journey also. So, we are able to see things, not only when the vision enters into our eyes, but passes through the mind to the soul. If you're absent-minded, we don't see. So the process of bhakti is about primarily spiritualizing our inner world, our mind and our intelligence. So talked about our intention, how can we strengthen it? A pure devotee is, they are eager to serve Krishna. They are eager to see Krishna also, but the primary thing is to serve Krishna. And seeing is a part of the desire to serve. And sometimes the devotees are ready to not see also if that enhances the service. The gopis, they want to see Krishna because they feel Krishna's legs are being pierced by thorns. And they are ready to go to hell and never see Krishna if that means that Krishna will be relieved for the headache. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan where he could constantly see Krishna in the various temples to go to America. And there also he saw Krishna. He saw that, okay, the modes of passion and ignorance are obstructing people from seeing Krishna. So remembrance of Krishna is always joyful, but the mind is restless when we are in the mode of passion and ignorance. So instead of drinking the sweet mango juice of remembrance of Krishna, the mind goes here and there, looking for other things. And that's why we need the philosophy. Pure devotees stay in spiritual platform with priti. For us, it is buddhi. So for us to connect with Krishna, there is the presence of distraction and the absence of attraction, which is the problem. So the distractions, we cannot wish them away. Both externally, the advertisements will continue, and internally also the mind is the internal advertising agent, which will also continue to advertise. But it is our intention which we need to make stronger. The sense objects are not to be blamed, because it is the sense desire within us that makes us attracted to the sense objects. So we strengthen our intention by our buddhi, by studying the philosophy seriously, by which our intelligence becomes strong and sharp. Like a horse charioteer who notices quickly when the horses go off and pulls them back immediately with strength. And then how do we cultivate the attraction to Krishna? And just by repeated practice of bhakti, the attraction comes. But more importantly, it's by the association of those who are attracted to Krishna. Our desires are not just linear, but also triangular. So, so celebrity endorsements of products make them sell. And especially when an object is not looks attractive to the eye, then we need association of those who are relishing that object, by which we will become attracted. So the deities may look attractive to us, but for those who have come from conception of idolatry, the deities may look revolting. And then their conception will change, the attraction will come when they associate with those who are attracted to Krishna. So in the association of devotees, the effect should be that our attraction to Krishna should increase. So different devotees have different driving desires in their life. So if somebody is there for prestige, power, controversy, we respect them, but we keep them aside and focus on associating with Bhagavatottamas, whose only desire is to serve Krishna. And by their association, we will tolerate and go through the effortful process of resisting distractions and focusing on Krishna, even when there is not much attraction. And by their mercy, when the attraction manifests, the process will change from effortful to joyful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I think it's already over time. So if any other questions, we can talk privately. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.